I want to talk to you this morning about the shepherd's heart and about leaven. See how far we get with things. The title of the word is, Who Will Shepherd My People? Actually, I took this from a verse, Matthew 2:6. And if you read that verse, you realize it's not posed as a question. Who will shepherd my people is a statement, the last part of the verse. So I'm just changing it a little bit because I feel that's a question that's being asked today. We have a lot of ministries. We have the fivefold gift ministries. But the question is, where are the shepherds? Where is the shepherd's heart? When we think about a shepherd's heart, we think about love, don't we? The love that is God's heart, unconditional love. We think about an atmosphere where people are safe and they can grow, where there is not abuse of the sheep. I am so tired of, in a church setting, we have all the doctrines, things go wrong, let's blame the sheep. Let's lay heavier burdens on them. Let's make them feel more guilt, more condemnation. The enemy has been able to use leadership in church to destroy and to rob. And that time is coming to an end because the shepherd's heart is going to be established in such a way where God's people are all going to feel safe in his presence. And it will be an atmosphere for everyone to grow and be blessed. Now, I want to bring up some different aspects of this morning. One is in Luke 2. And you know what? I'm going to go to a lot of verses today, so maybe you can read these later unless you're real quick at finding them. Of course, I've got them all marked and I can't find them. Shepherd's heart is not something that just drops out of the sky on someone. It's an actual attitude created within the heart of a man or woman that has learned to embrace the cross, that has learned in what they go through in life not to become bitter, but to thank the Lord anyway, to allow themselves to be humbled before the hand of God. Amen. And I don't think you have to be old to have a shepherd's heart, but you have to have a history where you've identified with his cross. And in that time of suffering, something's been worked in your heart where when we talk about a shepherd's heart, we're talking about God's heart and God's thoughts being able to flow through. In Luke chapter 2, it's speaking about the shepherds. And let's recognize why this is so important. Luke chapter 2, here I am in Matthew, 1 second. I'll get there. Okay. It says, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields, keeping watch over the flock by night. Angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. And the angel said to them, Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy which shall be for all my people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And you can continue reading on about this. And in verse 17, it says, when they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them. The beautiful thing here is, God is doing something new. Who does he reveal it to? Shepherds. They're out there just taking care of their sheep. They're not having a prayer meeting. They're not out saying, God's going to do something new. Let's find what it is. But there's something about that heart that attracts the presence of God. A true spirit of shepherding is going to recognize what God is doing by the Spirit, what Christ is doing, what's coming forth in the Spirit. And be able to draw people to it. Now, the word says that God will do nothing except he first reveal it to his prophets, right? But I also think we need to link in with that. Whatever God's going to do is going to be recognized by the true shepherds in the Spirit. In 2 Samuel chapter 17, we have a David going against, 1 Samuel 17, sorry. David's going against Goliath. And when he comes up against Goliath, he said, Verse 34, David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock. I went out after him and attacked him and rescued it from his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I seized him by his beard and struck him and killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." David was prepared to be a great warrior. How was he prepared? As a shepherd. He learned to protect and care for the sheep that were in his care. Do you realize that something was worked in his heart? It didn't matter how big of a giant came out against him. Goliath could have been 20 feet tall instead of, what was he, 9-10 feet? David knew that God was with him to protect the sheep. And a shepherd's heart, there is a confidence, there is a realm, an expression of authority, because a shepherd knows that they have absolute authority to protect the sheep of God. The giant wasn't the issue. David looked, he saw a lion, a bear, Goliath, it didn't matter. What he knew is anyone that comes against God's people or God's possession, I have authority to war against and be victorious over. So in the shepherd's heart, when we really see this established, where are the shepherds? It's a tremendous release of authority. We'll know how to battle. I've heard a lot about spiritual warfare over the years. I think some of it's real, some of it probably stuff going on in our own head. But one thing I've noticed is a lot of people that talk about warfare really aren't ready to do warfare. It's just like they engage in a lot of these battles because they're in a lot of conflict. Spiritual warfare, the keys to winning in the spirit, defeating the enemy. All of these things, I think, are reserved for those that are connected to a shepherd's heart. If we don't have the love, if we don't have the compassion, if that heart hasn't been worked in us, we're not going to know how to move in authority and see God's victory established. I want to just say a little bit about the fivefold ministry. Well, before we do that, John chapter 10, real quick. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, verse 3, "To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he put forth all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. A stranger they simply will not follow, but will flee from him because they do not know the voice of strangers." Where there's a shepherd's heart, there is access for people to grow and learn the voice of the Lord in the Spirit. What's interesting, he says, if someone else speaks, they're not going to follow that person because they recognize that's not God. Now, we have in the body of Christ, as far as in the church at large, but Paul describes people being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We see people following the Lord, and you've seen this over the years, right? And all of a sudden they get caught up in some strange teaching or some strange group or doctrine. You go, well, how can people follow those things? Don't they know what the Word says? Aren't they connected with the voice of the Spirit? Well, that's a need I think we have. Now, we can keep people in boxes, and we call them churches, and say, okay, you come every Sunday, you come every week, you listen to all the sermons. That doesn't mean that people are hearing the voice of the Lord personally to their own life. They can have a library of tapes and all the right teachings. But it's the shepherd's heart that provides an atmosphere for people to learn the voice of the Spirit. And when you learn the voice of Christ within you, when a strange voice comes in, and a lot of these strange voices are quoting scriptures, you recognize that's not right. I'm not going to follow that. A true shepherd helps people not learn his or her voice, but rather the voice of the Lord. Amen. There's a lot of people in groups that can parrot what the leader has to say. They can recognize the voice of that leader. But that's not a true shepherding spirit. The shepherds that God is raising up help people to recognize the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ within their own life. We have the fivefold ministries. I spoke about this a few minutes ago. That's the big, everybody talks about that. We've got to see apostles and prophets. I think we have all these ministries being released in the earth today. I want to tell you something. You can have the fivefold ministries moving all over the earth, and still people may not be growing spiritually. To have apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers without the shepherd's heart means that you have a lot of activity, but very little fruit. Ephesians 4, the whole purpose for God giving the gift ministries was, as Rick pointed out, we all are all to grow up into Christ. But without the heart of the shepherd, the growth doesn't happen. You have apostles that can be gifted, draw a lot of people to themselves. And what happens without the shepherd's heart? If they're not really helping people grow, the way I describe it in this day and age is that, you know, we've got this idol of celebrity. Yeah. It's not just Hollywood. Yeah. In the church, we have celebrity ministries. I think the apostles are probably the top of the food chain there, right? Everybody goes, an apostle, that's as good of, you know, high a ministry as you can get. Well, without the shepherd's heart, that's what we do. We take these gift ministries, and the gifts are valid. We put them on pedestals, and everybody follows them. The problem is no one learns how to follow the Lord. People don't know how to be led by the Spirit. All they know what to do is what the leader tells them. Prophets. Prophets can be very good at predicting and saying, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. But without the shepherd's heart, there isn't the spirit of conviction on people for repentance. You read the Old Testament prophets and New. It wasn't just that they were accurate prophesying things that were to take place. They brought a word that would melt people's hearts, convict people, bring the nation back to God. Okay, it's the shepherd's heart in the prophetic ministry that brings conviction, where people fall before God and say, I'm unclean. Father, I see my sin. I repent before you. I need to return to you. And we can go on with all the evangelists, teachers. Teachers can be anointed to bring out a lot of good things. Without a shepherd's heart, all they do is give good information. With a shepherd's heart, they teach people the principles of the kingdom and how they can walk with the Lord. I've saved the best for last here. Well, evangelists, you can see it too. They can, millions of people can flock to hear evangelists. When you have an evangelist with a shepherd's heart, people are being brought to a real living experience in Christ. Not just a bunch of big meetings, but something that they can walk out throughout their life. How about pastors? Well, pastors that don't have a shepherd's heart become like little dictators, don't they? They've got their little kingdom, their little church, and they rule over people, and people do what they say. I'll tell you what, the role of a pastor in this 21st century now has nothing to do with the way it was set up in the first century. I mean, we are way off. When you have one person running a church and making all the decisions, and he goes, you know, I've heard this before, well, I'm the pastor, the buck stops with me, and on and on and on. What's happened is the shepherd's heart has been lost, and you have someone that's just grabbing for power. This can become a very abusive situation for the people of the Lord, and has been. What do we need to do? Get rid of the pastors? Well, that's one way of dealing with it, but I'm sure you've thought of that in many cases. Probably a better way is to pray that their shepherd's heart be restored. Because if a pastor has a shepherd's heart, then the interests of the people are his primary concern. You're not going to have those kind of abuses. I can tell right now we're not going to finish this morning, but let's go a little bit further. Jeremiah, we're going to look at two prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Jeremiah prophesied in the 6th century B.C., and he came on the scene right after the reforms that Josiah brought. Remember, there was like a mini revival, but they didn't get rid of all the idolatry, so it wasn't long-lived. And Jeremiah was reluctant. God called him to the ministry, and he wasn't, you know, jumping through hoops saying, oh, good, I get to be a prophet, if you read his story. He would have rather been doing something else, but he was faithful, and he had to speak to a people that had experienced a revival saying, you're going to go into captivity, because during his ministry, they went into captivity under Babylon. And part of the ministry he had, now here you have all these moving parts, revival, still keeping the idols, going back into captivity, And God stresses through them the need for shepherds. I find that very interesting. Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15. Familiar verse, I will give you shepherds after my own heart. Who will feed you on knowledge and understanding. I will give you shepherds who will lead you according to God's heart. Not people that will lead you according to their own agenda. Let's have a mega church. Let's have a building project. Let's do this. Let's do that. You know, I'm sure you can just turn on your TV and find these guys on TV and you realize how God's heart's not really leading a lot of agendas out there. We have a lot of agendas and plans, and pastors can come and say, well, I have a vision for this. That's fine, but is it God's vision? Is it what God wants for the people? The true spirit of shepherding is always connected to what the Father wants to bring forth. Now, this verse, it talks about feeding you with knowledge and understanding. Important that true shepherds feed the sheep. They don't feed on the sheep. When you don't have a true spirit of shepherding, it's like a pastor can sit there and say, well, these people are all here for me. They're here to serve me. What a perversion of the truth. That's the furthest thing from the heart of God. You're not given to serve the leaders in that way. You know what? If things are flowing according to the heart of God, the leaders are pouring out their heart for the people, and the people likewise pour out their heart for the leadership. Streets in the kingdom of God are always two-way. You've got to be submissive. Well, if someone's saying that, how submissive are they? Two-way streets. Anyways, that's a beautiful verse. Now, before that, it's interesting. You go back and read this starting with verse 11. God is speaking to the Israelites about how they've been faithless. He's telling them to repent. In verse 13, he says, acknowledge your iniquity that you have transgressed against the Lord your God. You have scattered your favors to the strangers under every green tree. You have not obeyed my voice, declares the Lord. Return, O faithless sons, for I am master to you. I will bring you to Zion, then I will give you shepherds after my own heart. I think there's a real strong connection between all of us having a repentant heart, turning to the Lord in a fresh way, acknowledging our sin before him. That's what he was saying here. Okay, admit to what's going on. Repent. Then I will give you shepherds that will lead you according to my heart. A lot of people want to criticize what's going wrong in the church. Easy to do. The church is an easy target. I mean, like, again, just turn on your TV. You don't need a lot of discernment to know that things are off. Criticism doesn't bring about shepherds, true shepherds. We can be against something. It doesn't bring forth what God wants to do. Instead, if there was be a true spirit of repentance on the body of Christ, where all of us take responsibility for our life before the Lord, and we begin like he's speaking to Israel, acknowledge your sin, return to me. In that atmosphere, God will begin to release the shepherding that we need in this season that we're in. Another prophet, Jeremiah chapter 23. I almost left him too early here. We're not done with Jeremiah. Jeremiah 23:4, it says, I will raise up shepherds over them, and they will tend them. They will not be afraid any longer, nor be terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord. The shepherding that God raises up will end the fear that has dominated God's people. Perfect love casts out fear. True shepherding releases God's love. And the fear that's had such inroads in the body have robbed people of their vitality, of their life. That shepherding spirit begins to release people from the fear. Praise God. Jeremiah 31:10, If you mind jumping around a few of these verses, there's so much more in here. Please read it later. I'm just hitting a few highlights. Hear the word of the Lord, O nations, declare in the coastlands afar off, and say, He who scattered Israel will gather him and keep him as a shepherd keeps his flock. When there isn't the spirit of shepherding, everything tends to scatter. People scatter. There's division. There's isolation. When God's heart is active in the ministries and God is able to move the way he wants to, things are gathered together. Oneness. We're going to see more and more of that. We're going to see the end of denominationalism, the divisions, the walls, because that shepherd's heart is going to pull things all into the oneness that is God's spirit. Ezekiel was another prophet, prophesied around the same time, and he prophesied while the Israelites were in Babylon. And I'm just going to take you to one verse there, chapter 34 of Ezekiel. This is a good chapter. We're just going to read a few verses. Verse 2, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to those shepherds, Thus says the Lord God, Woe, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding themselves, should not the shepherds feed the flock? You eat the fat and clothe yourself with the wool. You slaughter the fat sheep without feeding the flock. Those who are sickly you have not strengthened, the diseased you have not healed, the broken you have not bound up, the scattered you have not brought back, nor have you sought for the lost, but with force and with severity you have dominated them. For they were scattered for lack of a shepherd and became food for every beast of the field were scattered. What's he talking about? Leaders feeding themselves, dominating people. What's God have to say about that? Nothing good. Not a good thing. What do we see in the church world? Leaders feeding themselves, dominating people. Has God changed in how he feels about that type of leadership? That's going to be corrected. I want to go to 1 Peter chapter 5. Oops. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you, as your fellow elders and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God among you, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you'll receive the unfading crown of glory. There's something missing in our consciousness when it comes to leadership. Peter is saying, okay, you that have this charge, don't lord it over people. What's he trying to get through? We all have to answer to God someday, don't we? They're the great shepherd. You know, when you say someone is my shepherd, they're simply an overseer. Your shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And there may be people, mentors and leaders that express that spirit that you submit to. But everyone answers to the shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. So if I'm lording it over you, someday I'm going to have to look up and explain to him why I abuse those he put in my charge. I, it's hard for me to even think of this because I'm looking over 40 years of ministry. You know, I don't know. What people have I hurt? What people have walked away wounded by something I've said or done or haven't said or haven't done? And we just, leaders just go on their merry way thinking, well, the sheep are there for me. No big deal. No. If you're given a charge, if you're given authority, the shepherd's heart is always aware of the ultimate shepherd, our Lord Jesus Christ. And everything they do is, Lord, is this how you want your sheep treated? problem with leaders is they forget that they're sheep. And somehow you get this system of royalty in the body, you know, kind of like kings and queens. They deserve special treatment. You want an answer to that? Read what Jesus had to say about authority and leadership in the Last Supper when he knelt down and washed the disciples' feet. What is it that we get so far off? What happens is we lose that consciousness of our shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. And leaders forget that they are fellow bondservants with everyone else. The fact that they've been given an authority or a gifting, they're still the sheep of God. And we need to treat one another with love and with kindness, with respect, because we all answer to the same shepherd. We need to relate out of his heart and his intent, and that is the shepherd's heart. When Jesus spoke to Peter, John 21, they're getting ready for the day of Pentecost. He's going to leave. This group that he has, for better or for worse, is it. They're going to carry on, and a whole new age is going to come in. He looks at Peter, and he sees, here's a future apostle, a leader of the church. And I'm sure Jesus, when looking at him, we would have said, well, Jesus, you know, Peter's made some really big mistakes here. You got to spend extra time with him and train him. How is he going to be this great apostle? What does Jesus say to Peter in John 21? Peter, do you love me? Three times. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. The only thing he stresses to Peter, and then he talks about, of course, another will lead you in the way that you would not go. In other words, you're going to follow the Spirit. But what he stresses is, Peter, you got to have a shepherd's heart. If that's in place, everything else will flow out of that and accomplish my will. I think he's stressing the same thing today for us. Yet leaders are being trained, they're focusing on all sorts of things. The only focus we need to have is, do we have a shepherd's heart? If that's in place, then God's going to have his way through the leadership and through the body. You know what? I am honestly about halfway done here. But I want to stop with this because I feel this is really the burden for this morning. And I think next week we'll continue on and we'll tie this in with leaven. But a shepherd's heart is not just about leadership. A shepherd's heart is something we all participate in. It's our own cry of repentance, our own cry of returning truly to what God wants. We create an atmosphere for the shepherd to manifest his love and his will through the body of Christ. As this becomes the reality more and more to us, we're going to see an end of spiritual abuse in the body. We're going to see an end of people coming to church to be blessed and instead being slaughtered and going home in worse shape than when they arrived. It's not just the building they attend, but when the people of God come together, those lively stones fitting together with a shepherd's heart, there's going to be the release of blessing and healing and life to every member of the body. Amen. Let's stand.